What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is article of the week number 9. Today we're going to be touching on dietary supplements, so you know, going to GNC, all those products, and how some of them can actually be dangerous for you. Because we've had a few podcasts in the past all about, you know, what supplements to take, what supplements not to take. So there are some risks if you take the wrong supplements out there, so I wanted to touch on it. And the article we're going to be referencing is called Dietary Supplements Can Cause Liver Damage. And you can find this article on the website, so tntwellnessandnutrition.com. You just go there and you can find the article and read it. It's pretty interesting. But the article touched on one supplement specifically called Lipokinetics. And it's actually a very catchy title. Did you like that name of the product? Like Move Fat, pretty much?
I mean, it definitely sounds like very scientific. You got that lipo for fat, kinetics, like movement, like that shit says moving the fat off of you, I guess.
Yeah, I love that name. And I saw some of the images for the product, and this product came out a while ago, so it's nothing recent, but it just reminded me back in the day working at GNC and seeing these before and after pictures that are obviously so fake. And obviously these dudes like were on a ton of steroids, but it was just like, no, don't think about that. That all they did was take this one pill and it changed their body completely. Like those before and after pictures, do you remember them back in the day?
I mean, you still see the, like before and after stuff all the time. And yeah, I used to believe it. And then like after I saw a couple of them, I mean, like, not all of this shit works like that. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, seriously. But so yeah, this product was a fat loss product, and that's obviously one of the biggest markets out there for dietary supplements. Everybody wants to look better. Everybody has a few extra pounds on their body, so they want to get rid of it, or at least most people. So the main ingredients in this product was ephedrine. People know that's a stimulant. Also a type of thyroid hormone, so either T3 or T4, I don't know. And a tea extract, so most likely green tea extract. And that's just kind of a fancy word for caffeine. Usually they just concentrate tea to get the caffeine out of it. And that's going to be the backbone for a ton of dietary supplements, caffeine, and specifically fat loss ones, because we have a podcast on caffeine and it does mobilize fat. It is good for that. It does suppress appetite. So it makes sense that caffeine would be in the supplement.
All three of those combined, like each and every one of those on its own, increases energy. It's going to increase your heart rate and stuff like that. Like ephedrine's an upper. Actually any type of thyroid hormone generally increases your metabolism, so that's going to give you more energy too. And green tea extract, caffeine, everybody knows that's another like energy booster. So I'm sure like if you took this, like you probably had energy for days.
Yeah, this is like coffee on steroids for real. It's just pretty much a bunch of things to stimulate your body to move. But there were a few, I guess, people who really did get hurt taking the supplement. So this paper referenced 8 patients specifically who developed symptoms of acute hepatitis, including tired, loss of appetite, and abdominal pain. And these people actually sought medical attention, and their blood test revealed severe liver damage. And one of these patients almost had to get a liver transplant, that liver transplant. That's how bad the damage was. And one of them actually did have to get a liver transplant. And I think that's crazy, you know, because like how much damage was done to get a liver transplant? Because our liver is one of the most, I guess, resilient organs in our body. It can literally self-heal itself. And we all have known people who love to drink. We know alcohol is liver toxic. We've known alcoholics who live to 60 or 70 years old drinking every day. But this dietary pill did it to these. It didn't say in the timeline, but within 3 months, so a maximum of 3 months of taking this pill causing someone to get a liver transplant, that just shows how toxic it was.
Yeah, and if you think about stuff like other stuff that is toxic to your liver, alcohol, like fructose too.
Yeah.
Both of those. I'm sure if you're overweight, like most of these people were, they're probably consuming either a lot of fructose or a lot of alcohol, or in some cases even both. So they probably didn't go into this with the healthiest liver anyway. And I'm willing to bet there's no disclaimer on that product about that.
You know, that's a really good point. I didn't think of that. People going in, the vast majority probably were already compromised and heavy set.
Taking something like this, I would imagine.
I didn't even think of that, but you're right. So this is one product, and there's a bunch out there that caused damage, but this one did severe damage. It obviously was taken off the market. Even some of its ingredients, like ephedrine, you can't get no more. Thyroid hormone, you'll never find in supplements anymore. All that stuff's been taken out and regulated.
You can still get thyroid hormone from, desiccated thyroid.
That's true. And you can get ephedrine and thyroid hormone, obviously, from a doctor prescribed. But it's going to be hard to find it just in a dietary supplement. Like, it was, in the 80s and 90s, you could find it in probably everything. Honestly, because the stuff worked.
Yeah. But I think, the thyroid, from a desiccated thyroid, is a little bit different because it's more in its, whole food, if you really want to call it, the whole food, but at least, the whole... container, you're getting everything that you would get from a thyroid. You're not just getting the thyroid hormone extracted.
And it's going to be the dose is going to be a lot smaller because it's not going to be concentrated, just the hormone itself.
Yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. And the one that Kaylee was taking in the past, that one had a lot of liver. I think it was three times liver and then one times thyroid hormone.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, you're still getting a lot of liver support with it.
Yeah, exactly. So as far as some of the products you probably need to watch out for nowadays are going to be a lot of the herbal products. So these can cause liver damage. Something like Kava, K-A-V-A. I don't know how to pronounce this one. Jinbuwan. I assume it's a Chinese herbal type of thing. Germander.
I've never heard of it.
I never heard of it either. Yeah, germander, chaparral, shark cartilage, and mistletoe. So these have all been shown to cause some sort of liver damage at certain doses. So I would just recommend probably not taking them. You might be thinking, how can supplements be out there that are this toxic? And that's really because the FDA doesn't really regulate the manufacturing process of dietary supplements. And that's different for a drug. If a pharmaceutical company wants to make a new drug on the market, say a new cancer treatment, a new diabetes medication, whatever that is, they have to actually go through three phases, three trials to make sure this product is actually safe. So the first trial, they just kind of see the dosages. So they'll give people dosages way more than what's actually going to be prescribed and see what happens. So kind of just to test the toxicity of it. The second phase of these trials is given to patients who actually have the disease in question to see how much it helps or hurts. And then the third phase is usually the biggest phase. That's a random controlled trial. That's where you have people either taking a placebo or people taking a actual dose of that medication being created. The doctors don't know, the patients don't know which is which, and they see what the results are. And if this drug passes all three phases, all of it goes to the FDA to be reviewed. If it passes, then it gets released. That's way different than the supplements you see in GNC or the vitamin shop. I don't know, there's places all around the country named differently, but you know what I'm talking about, these health stores. They don't have to go through that process. So as long as these companies aren't making some big claims like, hey, this pill cures cancer, they can pretty much put anything in their bottle.
Yeah, so the way dietary supplements work is, we've only started looking at them, so the FDA kind of monitors it because dietary supplements kind of fall under that food umbrella. But before 1994, there was no regulation whatsoever. And the FDA only really looks at new dietary supplements. So if a new dietary supplement, not even a new thing, a new ingredient, if that's not already in another dietary supplement that's already been approved, let's say there's a new vitamin, let's just call it vitamin F, new vitamin F comes onto the market. So the only way that would make it into a GNC or a vitamin shop is if a new firm monitors it and there's enough evidence for it to be deemed safe and effective. Right? It's very, very broad on what safe and effective even means, and I don't know how easy it is to buy off a firm. And I'm willing to bet that the supplement company making this new vitamin F is probably going to be the one doing the research. And hey, it's not much of a stretch to think that, you know, when you're creating studies for your product, they're probably going to come out favorable. It's not very hard to do that.
Exactly. That's just why every study funded by Coke shows that sugar consumption is okay.
Yeah, exactly. A calorie is a calorie.
Yeah.
That's all Coca-Cola.
It's not that hard to do. It's done all the time in this game. And it's corrupt and it's shady, but it's true. At the end of the day, it's all about money. So really, if you go to GNC, I think you shouldn't have to really about protein powders. I wouldn't worry too much about like creatine, things like that. Obviously, do your research and try and buy from companies that you at least know a little bit about their manufacturing process. Like, I wouldn't just go and buy like the cheapest brand that you never heard of. Like, do some research, go online and see if you can kind of just believe what they're saying and get some more reputable brands. I remember, like you said, back in the day before, what did you say, 1990? They didn't regulate till 1990?
1994 is when they, like, made that law. So yeah. Any dietary supplement that was around before 1994 got grandfathered in, regardless of its safety or efficacy. Yeah. And then if you use ingredients that were from any of those supplements, you're safe. Like, nobody needs to monitor that at all.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember back in the day, this was probably the late 90s when, for like protein powders, they would have like pro hormones actually in the protein powder, and it would make the protein powders way more effective. But obviously over the years, it was shown that pro hormones, stuff that like Mark McGwire took, remember when he was hitting all those home runs, or Sammy Sosa, like Andro, that type of stuff, that used to be in protein powders, or at least some of them. But they had to take all that stuff out once it was actually shown to be harmful. And that's something people don't really understand is in this game, it's the same thing with makeup, it's the same thing with like sunscreen. They can put damn near anything in this crap and like sell it. They can only stop sell it once it's shown to be harmful. It's backwards what people think, right?
Yeah, and it's really, really hard to prove something's harmful because it has to affect all these different people like the same way, and they all have to be only taking this supplement. Like, you have to really show a lot of evidence that it's this supplement and not something else, which is extremely difficult to do because you're talking about how many different foods, how many different things you consume on a general like day. You know, like, is it the air? Is the air making this person's liver fail? Like, mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's backwards. The game out there, it's a risky business, you know, taking various supplements. So I definitely wouldn't recommend taking just off-brand stuff. I wouldn't recommend taking stuff you don't know. So, like I said, I take protein powder myself. I did creatine myself. I'm not worried about it. But the other, like, just random Chinese herbal stuff that claims to do X, Y, and Z, I would be hesitant. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm pretty hesitant with most stuff. I think creatine has been very, very, like, studied. So I trust creatine. Protein depends because I only buy from pretty much one manufacturer now. And they have a very, very short ingredient list. I recognize what all those ingredients are. I'm trying to think. Is it Labdor? I believe it's Labdor.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is a website that shows all these different proteins. And I think they look at a couple other popular supplements as well that shows you, like, hey, these ingredients have shown to be harmful. So that's a good website to use to kind of show, like, safety and efficacy and stuff. But we're also trusting that the FDA has our best interests at heart, which our FDA allows a lot of food additives that a lot of countries do not. So it's not like we have the strictest regulations when it comes to like the efficacy and the safety of a lot of these like additives. So I don't even know if the FDA is even like the best protector from us or for us.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, from us and for us. Yeah, just human natures be greedy and they're making these products that just sell more even if they aren't safe. And yeah, I think to rely on the government for our safety is flawed. I mean, just look at all these damn, what do you call it, COVID policies.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much we're just hoping that some popular blogger will,
yell loud enough, yeah.
Will show like how many of these harmful ingredients there are in. I think, is it Food Babe is like one of the more popular bloggers, and she's made like Subway change up some of their ingredients with their foods and stuff like that. Pretty much you just have to put the company on blast and shame them into changing their ways.
Yep. Because they're not going to unless they do, because that affects their bottom dollar, you know?
Yeah. Nobody likes to change. I get it.
No, yeah, me too. And everybody wants to make money, especially these big-ass companies, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, all right, that's Article of the Week this week. Again, you can find it at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. Feel free to check it out. It's not that long of an article, so it's an easy read. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe. Rate, subscribe, and review on whatever your favorite podcast provider is. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy, healthy week.